will I bear you away with me, I promise. Already have I strengthened your flames after the manner of my own kind. If this body dies, you will continue to live as a Rakasha. Our people once wore bodies too, and I remember the art of strengthening the flames so that they may burn independent of the body. This has been done for you, so do not fear. Thanks a lot. Now let us confront the flame and dampen it. They left the royal chambers and descended the stair. Far below, prisoner in his own dungeon, Prince Videga whimpered in his sleep. They emerged from the door that lay behind the hangings at the back of the throne. When they pushed aside these hangings, they saw that the great hall was empty, save for the sleepers within the dark grove and the one who stood in the middle of the floor, white arm folded over bare arm, a silver wand caught between the fingers of his gloved hand. "See how he stands," said Siddhartha. "He is confident of his power, and justly so. He is Agni of the Lokapalas. He can see to the farthest unobstructed horizon as though it lies at his fingertips, and he can reach that far. He is said one night to have scored the moons themselves with that wand. If he but touch its base against a contact within his glove, the universal fire will leap forward with a blinding brilliance, obliterating matter and dispersing energies which lie in its path. It is still not too late to withdraw." "Agni," he heard his mouth cry out, "you have requested audience with the one who rules here?" The black lenses turned toward him. Agni's lips curled back to vanish into a smile, which dissolved into words. "I thought I'd find you here," he said, his voice nasal and penetrating. "All that holiness got to be too much, and you had to cut loose, eh? Shall I call you Siddhartha, or Tathagatha, or Mahasamatman, or just plain Sam?"
"You fool," he replied. "The one who was known to you as the Binder of Demons, by all or any of those names, is bound now himself. You have the privilege of addressing Taraka of the Rakasha, Lord of Hellwell."
There was a click, and the lenses became red.
"Yes, I perceive the truth of what you say," answered the other. "I look upon a case of demonic possession. Interesting, doubtless cramped also."
He shrugged, and then added,
"But I can destroy two as readily as one."
"Think you so?"
inquired Taraka, raising both arms before him. As he did, there was a rumbling, and the black wood spread in an instant across the floor, engulfing the one who stood there, its dark branches writhing about him. The rumbling continued, and the floor moved several inches beneath their feet. From overhead there came a creaking and the sound of snapping stone. Dust and gravel began to fall. Then there was a blinding flash of light, and the trees were gone, leaving short stumps and blackened smudges on the floor. With a groan and a mighty crash, the ceiling fell. As they stepped back through the door that lay behind the throne, they saw the figure, which still stood in the center of the hall, raise his wand directly above his head and move it in a tiny circle. A cone of brilliance shot upward, dissolving everything it touched. A smile still lay upon Agni's lips as the great stones rained down, none falling anywhere near him. The rumbling continued, and the floor cracked and the walls began to sway. They slammed the door, and Sam felt a rushing giddiness as the window, which a moment before had lain at the far end of the corridor, flashed past him. They coursed upward and outward through the heavens, and a tingling, bubbling feeling filled his body, as though he were a being of liquid through whom an electrical current was passing. Looking back, with the sight of the demon who saw in all directions, he beheld Palamedesu, already so distant that it could have been framed and hung upon the wall as a painting. On the nigh hill at the center of the town, the palace of Videga was falling in upon itself, and great streaks of brilliance, like reversed lightning bolts, were leaping from the ruin into the heavens.
"That is your answer, Taraka," he said. "Shall we go back and try his power again?"
"I had to find out," said the demon.
"Now let me warn you further. I did not jest when I said that he can see to the farthest horizon. If he should free himself soon and turn his glance in this direction, he will detect us. I do not think you can move faster than light, so I suggest you fly lower and utilize the terrain for cover."
"I have rendered us invisible, Sam."
"The eyes of Agni can see deeper into the red and farther into the violet ranges than can those of a man." They lost altitude then rapidly. Before Palamedesu, however, Sam saw that the only evidence which remained of the palace of Videga was a cloud of dust upon a gray hillside. Moving like a whirlwind, they sped far into the north, until at last the Ratnagaris lay beneath them. When they came to the mountain called Chana, they drifted down past its peak and came to a landing upon the ledge before the opened entrance to Hellwell. They stepped within and closed the door. "Pursuit will follow," said Sam, "and even Hellwell will not stand against it."
"How confident they are of their power," said Taraka, "to send only one."
"Do you feel that confidence to be unwarranted?"
"No," said Taraka. "But what of the one in red of whom you spoke, who drinks life with his eyes? Did you not think they would send Lord Yama rather than Agni?"
"Yes," said Sam, as they moved back toward the well. "I was sure that he would follow, and I still feel that he will. When last I saw him, I caused him some distress. I feel he would hunt me anywhere. Who knows, he may even now be lying in ambush at the bottom of Hellwell itself." They came to the lip of the well and entered upon the trail.
"He does not wait within," Taraka announced. "I would even now be contacted by those who wait, bound, if any but the Rakasha had passed this way."
"He will come," said Sam. "And when the Red One comes to Hellwell, he will not be stayed in his course."
"But many will try," said Taraka. "There is the first."
The first flame came into view, its niche beside the trail. As they passed by, Sam freed it, and it sprang into the air like a bright bird and spiraled down the well.